Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, Colossians chapter 2. And turn there with me and stand to your feet. We're going to stand for the reading of God's word just to show reverence and respect for it. We believe that the word of God truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I'm so thankful for his word. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 18 and 19 together. And then we're going to dissect this a little bit, break it down, and find what God is saying to us through it today. I'm so thankful for the word of God. I'm so thankful for you being here today and being present and taking time out of your week. I know that it's a commitment to come to church. And I want to say I respect you and I honor you for putting God in the proper place, the first place, and saying, I'm starting my week in the house of God. I'm going to go worship. I'm going to give. I'm going to fellowship. I'm going to receive the word, and I applaud you for that. It's no small feat, and I'm so proud of you and thankful for you that you're here. If you weren't here, we could not do what we're doing right now. So I'm glad that you're here. We can come together and fellowship and love the Lord and love one another. Colossians chapter 2, I said all that to give the slow turners time to get there. Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 through 19, Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, and he says, let no one cheat you of your reward. Nobody likes to be cheated, so you immediately have my attention because I don't want to be cheated. Anybody else not want to be cheated in here? Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and not holding fast to the head. Now, the word head is capitalized because it's speaking of Jesus Christ as the head of the church. From whom the whole body, that's us, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Now, I want to point this, I want to read this verse again. Not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Let's pray today. Father, we surrender and yield ourselves to you. We believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life, King Jesus. There is no way to the Father except by you. And I thank you that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You lived a perfect, sinless life. You endured the despising shame of the cross. And you rose again, and you are seated at the right hand of the Father, and we serve a risen Savior this morning. I thank you that it may be 2 weeks after Easter, but you're still alive, you're still well, you're still the resurrection, you're still the life, and you're still working in the hearts of men today. Now, by the power of the Word of God, I ask that you would instruct us, guide us, help us to become more conformed to your image today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to begin a not-so-new series today because it's different than what we've been talking about. I hope you really apply the What Would Jesus Do series and continue to, that you literally ask yourself at all times, what would Jesus do in this situation? But I want to start a new series, but it's not a new series because it's something that we've actually done multiple times before. Now, I don't sit down at the beginning of the year and plan all my series out for the year. I don't point fingers at people. I'm not saying that's wrong. Everybody's got to do what God tells them to do. But there are certain things that God points me to at different times that I feel like we need to talk about. And I like to talk about series because that helps the point really be driven home for us to understand what God is saying. And we're not just talking about faith 1 week and then talking about something else the next week. Not that that's altogether wrong, but I want to keep us in the right vein and focus of learning and growing and really grasping, not just hearing what God is saying, but grasping what God is saying so that we can do what God is saying. Because blessing comes when God's people walk in obedience to his word. But it's really hard to obey his word if you can't remember what he said. And so that's why I like to talk about the same thing for a few weeks in a row. And if you've been here for any time, any period of time, you have no doubt been a part of what we like to call the growth chart series. And that's what I'm going to start today. Every letter in the word growth becomes an acronym that we're going to talk about and what we are going to grow in as a church. And not just as a church, but individually as believers of Jesus Christ. But we have to understand that when I talk about growing individually, when Paul writes to the churches and he talks about like the body, that's every single one of us. You might be a hand, you might be a foot, you might be an ear, you might be an eye. But listen, I want you to know this. We need you. You're not unimportant. You are very important. You are cherished. You are needed because you mattered enough to Jesus to go to that cross and to die. And we wouldn't be who we are without you. And so this actually marks the third time that we've taught through this series. But every time it comes out differently. But the truths always remain the same. The method may just change a little bit slightly. And the reason that I feel that this series is so important as to return to it 3 years in a row now is this. If you aren't growing, you're dying. If you're not progressing, you're digressing. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. I truly believe that there's no such thing as just idling in Christianity or in life. You're either growing and you're getting better or you're going backwards. And so all healthy and living things have this in common: growth. Anything that is alive and is healthy will be growing. Now, I want to start by giving you some synonyms for the word growth, because I think it's important to understand that when I say growth, we can get so just locked into that word, oh, growth, growth, growth. But what does that mean? Here's some words that are akin to growth and what I feel like God is saying we're going to see in our life in this season. You know, God's the one that ordained times, he ordained seasons, and we're in the season of spring. What happens in spring? Things begin to bloom. Things begin to flourish. Things begin to grow. If you're a gardener, you're probably about to start putting some seeds in the ground in the next week to 2 weeks because we're probably about to be past the last frost and things are really going to begin to come to life, right? I don't know about you guys, but I need to mow my grass right now because it's really starting to grow and we're getting to see things bloom and come to life. And so I want to give you some synonyms for the word growth. These are so powerful because I feel like this is what God's saying you can see in your life. Number one is extension, that we extend, that we a broadening. Now, here's what I really like these next ones, development. Right? Development. Because sometimes growth, it's like, oh, growth, what does that look like? What does that mean? But when you think about development, sometimes with development, it's easier to break it down and see it in a step-by-step process. Whereas growth, we just want to see the end result. But development says, hey, there's a season, there's a period of time between planting a seed, between germination, it breaking ground, it beginning to come up, and then it begins to flourish. It's a development process. Maturation. I want to be a mature Christian. I want to be a mature husband. I want to be a mature father. I want to be a mature community citizen. Germination, magnification, sprouting, blooming, flourishing, thriving, progress. How many of you guys want to be flourishing in your life? The Bible says, they that are planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our God. We should be thriving. And then I want to focus on this word progress, because when it comes to growth, I think a lot of times, like I said, we just get locked into this end result, the destination, instead of realizing this. Growth doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're getting better. So when I talk about growth, sometimes we're like, well, I'm not at that place yet. But are you starting the journey? Because every single seed or every single fruit started as a seed. And it allowed the process to take place where Jesus said in John chapter 12 in the 24th verse, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it will abide alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. And so I want you to realize you can be on the journey to being fruitful, to flourishing, to thriving, to maturation, to blooming, to everything that these synonyms that we're talking about. But realize your journey is different than the person sitting to your left, to your right, in front of you, or behind you. So growth is not about being perfect. It's about getting better. And I want these teachings that we're going to go through over the next few weeks to help you thrive, flourish, mature, develop, sprout, etc., all these things that we're talking about. But don't worry. If you've been here for the other two growth series, it's not going to be a redundant sermon, but we're growing. So I felt like the Lord, as I began to seek him for this, he told me, don't just preach this the way that you've preached it the other years. He said, as you grow, you need to add two. And so here's what we're going to do. Instead of there being one word for every letter in this acronym of growth, we're going to have two. So in previous years, we've talked about grace, repentance, offering, worship, training, harvest. We're not doing away with that because those are staples of Christianity. Those are foundations of what we believe, of who we are. And we should grow in these things every single day. And so when you grow, you add to. It's like with your children. As they get older, you don't take away the responsibility that they have. You add to the responsibility. And so we're going to keep the Grace, Repentance, Offering, Worship, Training, Harvest, but we're going to add to it. We're going to talk about grace and gratitude and how they can work hand in hand and how important it is that we are not just full of grace, receiving God's grace, but giving grace, but also showing gratitude. Who? To God, to others, to everybody. In the R, we're going to talk about repentance and reconciliation. You know, most people really don't know how to have reconciliation in today's day and age. So many, it's always you're canceled or I'm done with you or I'm not going to forgive you. We're going to talk about repentance and reconciliation. In the O, we're going to talk about offering, but we're also going to talk about obedience because you can't truly offer yourself to God unless you are obedient in your heart to him. We're going to talk about worship and waiting. Waiting is something that we have such a hard time with in our culture today because we're used to ordering on our app and it's ready at the restaurant by the time we get there. And if it's not, we're frustrated, right? We don't know what it's like to wait. We order from Amazon because we can't wait for the extra 3 days that it would have come from somewhere else or something else. I'm not hating on you. I use Amazon too. I'm just saying we're going to talk about spiritually waiting. In the T, we're going to talk about training in truth. Because you see, training's great, but if you're not training in truth, then you're training in a lie. And so we need to make sure that we're having these things hand in hand. And then in the H, we're going to talk about harvest and hope. Harvest is a spiritual way of talking about souls being won into the kingdom of God. And that's our heart. That's our passion. We don't want just to steal people from other churches. As the Wellfort Payne, we want to see a harvest. I want to see other churches. I want to see Wills Valley right across the street. I want to see Church at the Vine downtown and Vive Church and Fort Payne Family Worship Center. I want to see these other churches as well, not just us, but because we're a part of the body and not just this body, but the body of Christ, we should long for a harvest. Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful. But here's the problem, guys. The laborers are few. There's not enough people that are willing to go out and into the field and get the harvest. And the reason that we don't see a harvest, I think a lot of times, is we lose hope. We lose hope. We look at how dark it is. And man, look at what's going on in the Middle East. And look at the political landscape. And look at everything that's mounting against us and how bad it is. No, we're going to be people that hope. And we put our hope in God, knowing that he will save even to the uttermost. So that's what we're going to talk about. But I want you to realize this in growth. That God has a plan for your life. He has a process. He has a destination. He has a journey that he has you on. And it's not apathy. It's not complacency. It's growth and it's greatness. And I'm not just here to pump you up and just fill you with you know, these little things of like, oh, I'm here. I'm born for greatness. I truly believe that every single person, God would not have allowed you to be born if he didn't have a great plan for your life. I truly believe that. Now, not greatness in the earthly sense, though. Greatness in the earthly sense is making a lot of money, having a nice house, being successful. Not that any of those things are wrong, but greatness in the eyes of God. Here's what greatness is in the eyes of God. It's being exactly who he created you to be. If you are in the center of who God created and called you to be, no matter what anybody else says about you, in his eyes, you're great. Because that's all he ever wanted for you. You find out who God created you to be, and you be that person. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. And I want you to know you can do that. You can be the best spouse that your spouse could ever dream of having. You can be the best parent that your child could ever want or desire to have. You could be the best coworker, the best neighbor, whatever it is. You can be used to lead other people to God through the power of Christ Jesus. And so the apostle tells us as he writes in Colossians chapter 2. And if you look at the book of Colossians, it's a two-part work where the apostle, he begins in chapters 1 and 2, and he's really laying a basis of doctrine. And he's telling them about instructing them in doctrine and in really in theology and what is the truth and the right way to get to God through Jesus Christ. And then in chapters 3 and 4, he's talking about practical Christian living, how we should operate and how we should live and function as ourselves. But it's important to point out this fact that he tells us that there's so much importance on keeping Jesus Christ the head in your life. The head in the church and the head in your life. That we don't try to get ahead of him, but we allow him to be the head of us. And it's important to point out this fact because it's from the head, it's from Christ that Paul tells us in the verses that we read that the body, which again is us, is nourished, knit together, and experiences growth. So that means this, if we're not staying connected to the head, we will be lacking in nourishment. You ever seen someone that's been malnourished? It's such a heartbreaking thing to see. When they haven't had the proper nutrients, they haven't had enough food to eat, or maybe the food that they have doesn't have the proper nutrients to supply their body, and their body is suffering and it's beginning to shut down. And a lot of times as Christians, in our spirit, if we could see through the outward appearance into the spirit, I believe there's a lot of malnourished Christians because we're not staying connected to the head. And then he says, not only are you nourished through this, you're knit together. That's why there's so many schisms, so many fights, so many frustrations, so much lack of reconciliation, is because if we would keep Christ the head, then we would be able to forgive our brother or sister. We'd be able to ask for forgiveness. And then he says, it's growth and increase. If you're not experiencing growth and increase in your life, you can always trace it back to the fact that you're not connected to the true vine that Jesus talks about being in John the 15th chapter. He says, I am the true vine. And if you are connected to me, guess what? You'll flourish. You'll bear fruit. You'll grow. But he says, apart from me, you can't do anything. So it's important that we stay connected to the source. You can try as hard as you want to produce growth in your life. You can do everything in your power to succeed and to increase. But if you aren't connected to the true vine, your efforts at the very best are futile. And really, they're just exhausting. I've tried to grow apart from the source of Jesus Christ. And you know what it is? It's exhausting. I've tried to grow my personal life. I've tried to grow this church in human efforts, human strengths. And I'm just being honest with you. We all do it sometimes because we think, I can do it. I know the best way. But when you disconnect from the source and you don't have the power, it's kind of like your cell phone. Your cell phone may can last for a little bit on its battery, but eventually that battery begins to run down. And it gets exhausted and it dies. Why? Because it's not connected to a power source. And we have to stay connected to the source, which is Jesus. True growth, or rather I should say sustainable growth, only comes through relationship and obedience to Jesus Christ. You see, in verse 18, Paul says this. He says, let no one cheat you of your reward. The reward that he's referring to is the nourishment, the connectivity, and the growth and the increase that he mentions in verse 19. But he's starting by warning them, don't let anyone cheat you out of this reward. Don't let them get you disconnected, because God is promising you nourishment, connectivity, and growth. But if you do not stay connected to the head, then you will not experience this reward. And he clearly lays this out for us, because I believe that inside of you, God put a desire to grow, a desire to prosper, a desire to flourish. Everybody, whether they're acting it or not, everybody acting upon it, everybody wants to be great, okay? Everybody wants to be a part of something that's larger than themselves, and we get the greatest opportunity ever because the greatest thing in the world, the most powerful thing in the world, is the kingdom of God. And we get to be invited into that, but we can be cheated out of that reward by doing some very foolish things that we actually do probably on a daily basis, and we don't even realize we're doing them. And so the Apostle Paul lays this out. But what happens is so often we read this and we skip through it, and we don't even pay attention to the fact that in order to get to the growth and the increase and the nourishment and the connectivity, he's saying, you can't do these things. And if you do them, you're allowing someone to cheat you out of the reward. And so what are these things? So we're going to get to the growth chart next week. We're going to talk about grace and we're going to talk about gratitude. But before we really talk about growing, we first should talk about what's restricting our growth. Because do you remember the parable that Jesus told of the sower? He says the sower went out to sow. And he sowed the same seed in every single place that he went. Some of it fell by the wayside. Some fell among the thorns. Some fell upon good soil. You know, there was all these different places that he scattered seed. And it's interesting that it all had a different effect based upon where the seed fell. And part of it was one place the seed fell was among the thorns. And the seed, it sprouted up and it began to be fruitful. It began to multiply. But the cares of the world, the thorns, began to choke out the life of the fruitful, beneficial thing, which was the seed in the parable, was the word of God. And so it's important that we realize, in order to properly be fruitful and grow and prosper in life with Christ, we're going to have to first remove what is restricting and hindering our growth. You see, we want to talk about growth, and we want to talk about how do I get nourished? How do I prosper? How do I thrive? How do I have progress? How do I have maturation? But we don't want to deal with the issues that are actually restricting us. We just want you to throw more fertilizer on us. That's what happens when people want to go to church and they're like, throw fertilizer on me. Do you realize the best fertilizer is what it's made out of? Anybody understand that? So, but oftentimes that's what we want. We want to be watered. We want to be fed. Come to church, feed me, fill me up, pump me up, get me excited. But if you really want to be effective, you must first remove what is hindering you. That way the fertilizer can actually be effective in your life. So let's talk about what we need to get rid of. What's restricting us? Because maybe you're like me, and at times in my life, in my walk with Christ, let's call it a growth journey, I get stuck sometimes. And I feel like I'm hitting a ceiling. You ever felt like you've hit a ceiling, hit a plateau? Why am I not progressing? Well, hopefully this can shed some light, and maybe you can identify some areas that you're like, oh, wow, I didn't even realize I was doing that. But it's restricting me. It's like I mentioned baseball earlier. So sorry, I'm going to talk about baseball a lot because I literally, if I'm not here with you guys, I'm probably at the baseball field right now. So that's really all I know. These young boys, that they come in the batting cages or they come to practice. And as coaches, if you've ever coached, you'll understand this. You can watch a few swings and understand exactly what they're doing, why they're not being effective. And you'll tell them, you're pulling your head up. And they'll go, no, I'm not. You're like, yes, you are, because I'm watching you. I can see you. Or your back foot is sliding backwards instead of turning and staying planted. And a lot of times, we just need the Word of God to identify in our lives what we can't see for ourselves. So you may think, I want to start by saying this. Don't neglect what I'm about to say because you're sitting there thinking, oh, I don't do that. We all have blind spots. And we all have things that are hindering us because none of us are growing at the rate that we could be growing at. And I'm speaking to myself. So take heart of what I'm about to talk to you about, okay? Because this is Paul. This is not me. The first thing that he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, he says, let no one cheat you of your reward. How? Taking delight in false humility. So one thing that could be hindering your productivity or your growth or your advancement, your fruitfulness in Christ, is false humility. What is false humility? It's pride that's masked as modesty. And we all do it sometimes. We all act meek and act humble, but inside we really want the recognition. We really want people to pat us on the back and show us how great and how awesome we really are. And so what happens is, when you use your humility as a badge of honor, rather than actually being humble and not seeking the glory, you begin to walk in false humility. And the Bible says in the book of James very plainly that God resists the proud, but he gives grace. That word grace, really, we have the word grace, and we're going to talk about this some next week, but really that word grace just means favor. God favors the humble. He doesn't favor the one that is up there being prideful and drawing attention to himself. He favors the humble one. In fact, if you read Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, in the New Living Translation, it calls it this. It calls it pious self-denial. So be careful when denying yourself becomes a means to promote yourself more than it is to die to yourself. I'll never forget, I heard this a long time ago, and it's really stuck with me. We aren't called to parade the flesh, but to crucify the flesh. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's Christianity 101. That's the basis of what we believe, and that never stops. And so let's not be pious in our self-denial, but let's realize that we're humble in this. True humility will bring the favor of God in your life, and the favor of God in your life will bring growth. But that false humility are the thorns that will choke out the fruitfulness that you want to have in your life. Because when you have true humility, God delights in you. He looks at you and he's able to bless you and give you favor that you couldn't earn on your own. But pride causes God to have to turn away, because God is never going to go back on his word. And the word of God says he resists the proud. So when we're walking in false humility and we're walking in pride, Paul is telling us, listen, this will cheat you out of your reward. You won't have the nourishment you need. You won't be knit together, and you won't grow, and you won't increase, because you have false humility. You have pious self-denial. So we have to remove that from our life. The next thing he tells us is worship of angels. You may say, what on earth does that mean? I have never worshiped an angel in my entire life, right? Like, I do not hang pictures of angels on the wall and have a shrine to them and worship them at all. I don't do that. Well, what that means is this. The word angel was actually created by Bible translators, because there wasn't a word in the English for the word angel. And so they found this in the Bible. Really, if you look it up in the Greek, it just means messenger. But it means more than that. It means messenger, either human or heavenly. Now, this begins to take on a whole new meaning when we think of it this way, because we live in a day and we live in an age that, thanks to social media, it elevates the messenger above the message. Some people say, I love this preacher or I love that preacher, and there's nothing wrong with being fed by somebody, hearing them, listening to them, but what I'm saying is you must be careful that you do not worship the messenger and miss the message. Because the message came from God, and that's why you like it so much. But sometimes, because of the way that they said it, or because of the way that they look, or because it hits you right where you are, it's very easy to elevate the messenger. Listen, I want to remind you today, I'm nothing more than a messenger. I'm just coming to try to say to you what I felt like God said to me. And so that's the same with any messenger. But we have celebrity pastors. We have Christian influencers nowadays. And I'm not negating those people, nor what they're doing to spread the gospel. But I'm warning you of this. Never forget, preachers and teachers are nothing more than human beings that God is using. So don't elevate them. This person's so great. They're so awesome. They're a man or a woman, and they can fall just as quickly as anybody else, and we should pray for them and hold them up and not put them on a pedestal and not worship them because they bring a good word, or because they have a lot of charisma, or because they have a big following. When we worship humans, what happens is we wonder, why is what they're saying not producing growth in my life, right? Because what they're saying is actually supposed to feed you. It's supposed to help you. It's supposed to, through the word of God, identify areas that need work, identify areas that you're doing well, encourage you. And so we listen to message after message. Maybe you come every single Sunday and you listen, or every single Wednesday, or you've got people that you listen to, teachers or preachers that are very gifted, very anointed by God, and you wonder, I'm listening to the word. Why is it not taking effect in my life? Check yourself and make sure that you're not elevating them above the message. Because sometimes it's very easy to do. Why? Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. And there's not really much we can do to change that truth. So you have to make sure that you're not just looking at the outward appearance. Well, I like how they say it, or I like how they dress, or I like this, or I like that. Make sure that you're listening to the word of God for the reason of being instructed and taught in godliness and righteousness, and you're adhering to the truth that is written in the word of God, and you're not just taking it because a little bit of honey makes the medicine go down, right? Make sure that you're not elevating the messenger above the message. That's what Paul is writing. When he wrote to the Colossians, he's not literally saying that they were worshiping angels in heaven above God. He's saying, you guys are worshiping the messenger. When this preacher comes to town, you fall all over him. He's just the greatest thing in the world. Make sure that you're not elevating man above God. Anytime that someone tried to bow down and worship a man or a woman of God in the Bible, they said, get up. Don't worship me. I'm not God. And you know what? Angels did the exact same thing. That's how you can identify if it's actually Jesus in the Bible showing up, is if someone falls down and worships, Jesus will never tell them to get up. Why? Because he's worthy of worship. An angel or a human being that is used by God will always say, get up, don't worship me. Because they understand only God is deserving of worship. The next thing is intruding into things he has not seen. I really feel like this could be hindering some growth in some people's life. This literally just means speaking into matters that you don't know about. You have no business talking about. Now, usually this is reserved for mother-in-laws, but we're going to let this apply to everybody today. Mine's not here today, so I can say that. Because she'd be throwing something at me from the front row. She should be in church, though. I will say that. I rebuke her sharply for not being here. No, I'm just kidding. We can all be guilty of this sometimes. I know I can. And let me just say, this is the plainest, most simple way I can say it. If you don't know what you're talking about, thank you. Pastor Lauren said it. I don't have to say it. Shut up. Be quiet. It's okay to not say something. You know, some people, it would pain them to keep their mouth shut. But you know what else it would do? Heal them and help them. It may pain your flesh to keep that mouth shut, but it'll do a lot of good for your spirit. Because we don't realize that sometimes our words are undoing the spiritual work that we're trying to, the progress that we're trying to make. And so I'm saying this to help you, not to be mean to you. Paul literally said this could be contributing to the fact that you're not getting the reward of nourishment and growth and increase and being knit together. Because think about it. When you speak about things that you don't know about, how are you going to be knit together with other people? Because they're just going to see you as a know-it-all. They don't care what you say anyways. It's going to hinder your connectivity with other believers. It's going to hinder your nourishment. You know, why are we so ravenous to share our own opinion? You know, it's like, well, I know what I'm talking about. No, you don't. You watched one YouTube short of a podcaster that Googled something to talk about so that they could get more views on their podcast, and you listen to them talk about it for 1 minute long, and you are now a complete and total just professional in the matter of the Egyptian pyramids, right? And where they came from. Listen, nobody knows how they built the pyramids, and some podcaster on YouTube is not going to figure it out. But now all of a sudden we think we know everything because we're so desensitized and so overwhelmed with information that we think that information leads to knowledge. It can, but it doesn't always. So just because you heard someone else talk about it, it doesn't make you the sum total of wisdom on the matter. I'll say it that way. So be careful. Why do we do this? Right? Like, we think we can give a TED talk on something that we heard someone else say, right? It's okay to just be quiet because we don't realize that in over-talking and stepping into matters that we know nothing about, it's a very dangerous place to be. But we always want to insert ourselves. Why? Here's why. Because of the next thing he says, being vainly puffed up by a fleshly mind. When you're vainly puffed up, you think that your opinion trumps everybody else's opinion. You think that what you have to say is more important than what they have to say. And because you're puffed up and it's vain, it's hindering your growth because you're stepping into matters that you know nothing about. And when we live in a fleshly mind, we are duped into thinking that our opinions are always the best opinions. And we even begin to elevate our own thoughts above the Word of God. You may say, well, I don't do that. The Bible warns us against it because it's very, very easy to do. And because we're vainly puffed up and we have false humility, we think, that's not talking about me. If your first thought is, that's not talking about me, trust me, it's talking about you. Because it's talking about me. Because why would I think that I'm immune to the correction that the Word of God brings? If the Word of God says it, I need it. I can't sit here and think, well, I'm batting 1,000 in that area. I need to press in and go, okay, God, where is this wrong in my life? Where am I vainly puffed up? Where am I falsely humble? Where am I stepping into matters that I don't need to be stepping? I have no business talking about that. You know, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. I can't remember who said it, but they said, it's better to let people think you're stupid than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. It's best sometimes just to say, I don't know. And just leave it alone, leave it at that. So don't be fooled into thinking that this verse is for everybody else. Check yourself. And then he says this. This is the last thing that could be hindering our growth. And this is very important. Not holding fast to the head. That word holding fast is the Greek word kriteo, or the phrase holding fast is one Greek word, it's kriteo. And it literally means to place under one's grasp, to master, to seize, or to lay hold of. So when we fail to place ourselves under the grasp of Jesus Christ as the head, superior, preeminent, the Lord. And plainly, this is why most Christians are not living fruitful, productive, growing, thriving, prospering lives. Is we want to claim him as Lord, but not live like he's Lord. I learned a long time ago, he's either Lord of all or not at all. There's no in between. There's no he is today, he's not tomorrow. We need to choose Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I'm under his grasp. I'm under his domain. If you claim to live in the kingdom of God, there can only be one king. And whatever the king says goes. Total submission to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. Being a member of a church doesn't make Christ Lord of your life. I want you to be here. I want you to be involved. I want you to get fed. I want you to have relationships. I want you to serve. I want you to grow. But just doing those things, if he's not Lord when you walk out of these doors, the growth won't come. It's not going to happen just because you show up and you're faithful and you're good and you pay your tithes and you do this. It's got to be Jesus Christ being the head and the Lord of your life. Being a member of a church won't guarantee that you flourish and that you grow and that you prosper. But you know what will? Keeping Jesus Christ as the head of your life. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. And the apostle promises this, and I'm going to begin to close with this. He promises us that from Christ, the head of the body, we are nourished, we're knit together by joints and ligaments, and we grow with the increase that is from God. And here's what I want. This is my desire. This is why we're talking about this, and we're going to take time over the next few weeks to really break down this growth chart, is because I want to see these beautiful promises unleashed in our lives. I want to see you nourished. You know what that word nourished means? Fully supplied. To have aid or to contribute. Think about this. When you stay connected to the head, first you eliminate all these other things that are distractions, that are hindrances, and you stay connected to the head, he will supply you fully. If you are supplied fully, you're able to grow. You're able to go forward. He will aid you. That's why I love the scripture. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. When we don't know what to pray, he prays what we don't know how. And then it's in the English, the word nourish means to provide with the food or other substances necessary for growth, health, and good condition. Think about that. God will literally provide you with what you need for growth, health, and good condition. Why? Because God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to grow. He wants you to be healthy in spirit, soul, and body. He wants to provide every single thing that you need. Why? Because he's a good father. Every good gift comes from him. So he'll nourish us. He'll also knit us together. That means he'll hold us together. He'll unite us. I've said this already today. I want to say it again. We need each other. This promise of being knit together, Paul didn't just throw it in there because it sounded good or it felt good. He said it because he wanted the church in Colossae and ultimately today us to know we don't just need to be nourished on our own. We need to be knit together. We need to have unity. We need to have community. I talked about this a few weeks ago. We were built for community. God didn't make us to be mavericks, to be loners. He made us to lean into one another because you have what I don't have. I have what you don't have. But together we can come as one in unity, not uniformity, but true unity that comes from God. And we can actually grow. We can actually flourish. We can actually get closer to the goal of being fruitful. If we could be healthy on our own, then Jesus wouldn't have instituted the church. He would have just left us on our own. But part of church is connectivity. It's fellowship. It's being knit together. And then he says, it will grow. From the head, it will grow. That means become larger and larger, to increase and grow in number. That's what that word literally means. And then where he says grows and the increase that comes from God, increase is just a derivative of the word grows. It literally means the same thing. And here's what I want to see. I want to see our love grow. I want to see our wisdom grow. I want to see us grow in understanding. I want to see us grow in patience. I want to grow in love, in love for others, love for God, love for his word. I want to see our patience extend and abound beyond anything that we could ever imagine. I'm not just talking about this church growing numerically. I'm talking about you growing, your family growing. You growing in what God called you to do, who he called you to be, in eliminating false humility or fear or whatever it is that is hindering your growth. Choose today. I'm not going to let anything keep me from what God has called me to do. I'm not going to let anything else be Lord of my life. He's the head. Make that fresh commitment today. Make that decision. Sometimes we over-romanticize it because of what we've seen in Hollywood, and we think it's got to be this grand thing. No, sometimes it's just going, okay, God, you know what I'm choosing right now in this moment? You're number one. Make that decision right there in your seat, right where you are. I'm not against coming to the altar and having a moment with the Lord, but I'm telling you this. He's so powerful. He's so great. He's so mighty. He sees exactly where you are. You can make that decision right now in your heart and choose, God, I'm making you number one again. I want to grow. I want to be knit together. Maybe past hurts have caused you to not want to be knit together with a body of believers or to be close to somebody else. Maybe you had a bad relationship. Maybe you had a bad church experience. Maybe, you know, you made a mistake and you burned others and you're afraid you're going to do that to them again or someone's going to do that to you. Listen. Don't let it keep you from the growth that God wants you to have. You know, when a seed cannot prosper on its own, it needs the dirt. It needs the darkness for a season. It needs the sunlight. It needs the rain. It needs the air. So how would we think that we can be sustainable and beneficial and nourished and thriving on our own? You take a seed and you put it in a package and you hang it in a store and it will always remain a seed. It will never change its function or its purpose. But you take it and you put it in some dirt. You cover it up. You water it. You nurture it. You take care of it. And you allow it to get the proper nutrients that it needs. It will come to life. And in the same way in our life, we can't stay in a package isolated somewhere else. We need to be knit together. We need nourishment. We need God to supply what we can't supply on our own. And honestly, there's things in your life that I can't supply for you, that only Jesus can. Paul didn't say you're nourished by the pastor. He said you're nourished by the head, which is Christ. Stay connected to Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. I do believe it's important to be a part of a church, but I'm not just pointing you to this church. I'm pointing you to Jesus. Because that's the most important thing, that you stay connected to him. Because I want to see you nourish, growing, knit together. If there's one thing that I pray over and over against, God, knit our hearts together. Because that's really going to bring growth. It's not just more people coming through these doors. It's not just me talking to you every single Sunday. That's not the only thing that's going to bring growth. It's when you truly decide we're removing distractions, I'm focusing on the head, God will bring the growth. God will bring the increase. Like Paul said, one waters, one plants, God gives the increase. If you want to see God bring increase in your life, follow what the Apostle Paul said. Check yourself. Where's their false humility? Am I worshiping a messenger instead of listening and really applying my life to the message? Am I stepping into things that I don't need to be stepping into? Am I vainly puffed up? Am I living with a fleshly mind instead of setting my mind on things above? Am I holding fast to the head? Because until I do that, I won't receive the growth and the increase that I'm hoping for and praying for. You know, what we want a lot of times is charismatic, Pentecostal, full Bible-believing people, is we want to come to church and get a breakthrough. But we don't want any accountability. We don't want any action. We don't want to really deal with the problem. We want the problem dealt with for us. God's the God of the breakthrough. I'm not saying he's not. He can break through anything that he wants to. But you know what I also believe? God gave you a free will to choose and to decide between right and wrong. And we cannot live wrong and expect God to just make it right. We've got to choose, God, I'm holding fast to you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Amen. Stand to your feet. If you're comfortable, just lift your hands and receive this. I want to pray over you this morning that God would nourish you. He would grow you. He would increase you. Because that's really our heart and our desire and our prayer here is we want to see the body edified. In fact, the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, those that you are of you that are spiritual, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And so, God, I pray that we would not seek to excel so that we could be puffed up, we could be lifted high, and we could be exalted. But, God, we say, King Jesus, we want you to be exalted. We want you to be magnified. We want you to be lifted up. We say, Jesus is Lord over DeKalb County, and Jesus is Lord in my life. Right now, just make him Lord. Maybe you've tried to get on the throne of your own heart. Maybe you've allowed something else or someone else to take that place. Right now, put Jesus in his rightly place and say, Jesus, you're the king of my heart. You're the master. You're the Lord. You're my savior. You're my friend. You're my rabbi. You're my teacher. Show me the way that I should go. And Father, we just say right now, I want to see growth. I want to see nourishment, God, not just numerically, but God, we want to see growth in our spiritual lives. We want to grow in grace and in gratitude and in repentance and in reconciliation. God, we want to grow in offering and in obedience and in worship and in waiting and in training and in truth and in harvest and in hope and in everything else that you want for us and that you have for us. God, we don't want to be dying. We want to be growing. We want to be prospering. We want to be thriving. We want to be stepping into who you've called us to be. And God, it's only by you that that growth can take place. And so, Father, right now, I pray for every single person that's here today that's been struggling with false humility. God, forgive us. Help us to not try to parade ourselves around, but to crucify our flesh and say, yet not I, but Christ in me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If you've been dealing with false humility right now, just plead the blood of Jesus. Just say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I've been masking it as modesty, but really it's just pride. And it's an excuse to stay in the same position that the devil was in that got him kicked out of heaven. And God, help me to not be prideful. But we renounce false humility right now in Jesus' name. We ask that you would forgive us. If you've been worshiping angels or messengers, you've been exalting them and lifting them up and putting the man of God above God himself or just filling yourselves with that mentality and that thought, just right now repent, say, God, I'm sorry. Help me to not do that anymore. If you've been stepping into things that you have no business talking about, no business saying, God, forgive us. Cleanse our hearts. We don't want to be vainly puffed up in our fleshly mind, but we want the mind of Christ. We want to think the way that you thought, Jesus. We want to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of human flesh. So Jesus, we say we want to have that mind and we hold fast to you. We say you're the head. Jesus, as the pastor of this church, I say, you're the head of this church. I'm not the head of this church. You're the head of this church. You're the chief cornerstone. You're preeminent in everything, King Jesus. And we lift you up. May you rule and may you reign. And I know that in doing so, you're going to cause growth, increase, knit our hearts together, and supply every single need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I speak growth and health and maturation and bounty over the lives of your people here today. And if you receive that, would you just say amen? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you grow, and may you remember that growth is not perfection, but it's getting better. Let's get better today, get better tomorrow, get better Tuesday. Every single day, conforming more and more to the image of Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you today. We love you so much. Have a great day.